everyone. Welcome all. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 32 is coming at you right now. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com and find out all sorts of information about the store, events, other things that are going on. And you can also like us on Facebook, The Portal. Look for the store. And also we are on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. So check us out in all those places. We are excited to be here today. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. So you can check out DiceTowerNetwork.com for more awesome podcasts and other things about board gaming and all sorts of fun things from this hobby. This is our Extra Life and VonnerCon recap episode. We've got multiple events that are going on and we want to talk about them. I am your host, The Brant, and with me, as always, is...
your co-host, Brian.
And we're excited to have special guest with us.
Harrison.
Harrison is with us. Harrison ran the Extra Life event this year.
Yep. And we've mentioned him a couple times
in the podcast. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good. Yeah, we just played Codex. You wrecked me before we did this, so that was a good time.
Nice. Brian?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Good. It feels like gaming's kind of gotten back in the swing of things, so I'm excited, and we've got some stuff to talk about, right? So
yeah, definitely. Before we start anything else, I just wanted to mention the Jack Vassell Memorial Fund. So this is a fund that Tom Vassell started in honor of his son who passed away after just a few months of being born, And so you can check that auction out. It's on BoardGameGeek. There's lots of great stuff. They've got like 800 items or something, and they just raise a ton of money. The money all goes to gamers in their time of need, and what's neat is it's just gamers helping gamers, which is just so cool. Because it's just a direct fund. It's just somebody says, hey, this is what I need money for. And they say, great, we're going to provide for that. So definitely get on there. Check out something that you can purchase. Put up something that you could have auctioned off or whatever. But it's just a great fund. It's just one of those things that brings all board gaming together. So it's just such a great spot. So we definitely want to mention that.
And I mean, there's so many cool, unique things up there. You know, and stuff is going for like high dollar amounts because people are trying to support it and they're giving money and they're just kind of, you know, it's giving people that race to kind of, you know, people are just propping it up, which is awesome.
Yeah, don't think of it as getting a deal on something. That's not the point. Maybe getting access to something you couldn't otherwise is neat. Right. You know, signatured copies or a Kickstarter with exclusives that's not there or whatever. So,
nice.
But definitely check out the Jasper Vassell Memorial Fund. It's awesome. So you can find it on BoardGameGeek.com. Awesome, let's talk about some upcoming events at the store. So we have EllisCon, that is happening November 19th, so you can find more information on our portal page.
And that'll be off-site. I mean, that'll be a Warhammer 40K tournament specifically. We're going up as the store to Ellis Tech. So, yeah, like Brant was saying, there's some more information available just on the Facebook page and just on the website. So just, you know, give us a call if you've got any questions about it too. But I know kind of this is nice coming off of the Warhammer GT that we ran, kind of coinciding with the Extra Life event. Like, this is that next hurrah for the 40K crowd. So
nice.
Yeah, so that'll be November 19th. Coming up this coming Saturday, November 12th, we'll be running another event, or helping run another event at the Manchester Public Library. So we're doing the Silk City Board Game Group. Like I said, Saturday, November 12th from 12 to 4:30 p.m. We'll be really focusing on Potion Explosion, Royals, Mare Nostrum, and Oceanos. So that's a good a good spattering of games, and I'm excited. We've been having a good turnout, and you know, more and more people are coming, so it's awesome to see. And you know, feel free to come by and just learn some of those games. You know, there are other ones that you've got access to, so just feel free to stop by. You don't have to stay for the whole time, but you know, we'll be running those games specifically for the whole, you know, the 4.5 hours that the event is going on.
Yeah, and there was a little newspaper article on them like a month or two ago too. Yeah, so that was neat. So that's, games are definitely getting more exposure, which is awesome.
And yeah, if following that event, we're going to be running an event on Friday the 18th. That's actually going to be what the event is called, Friday the 18th, focusing on Last Friday, the upcoming release from Ares Games. We're still kind of hashing out the details, but we'll be running a couple of scenarios of that game, you know, that Friday night. So we'll keep you posted. I think we'll be putting something up in the meetup group.
Yep.
So, yeah, keep your eyes out for that. So Chits and Giggles, that'll have some events. And
yep.
We'll try to get it up on the Facebook page as soon as we really hash it out. We really got the details, like, earlier today, so this is getting it to you guys as quickly as we can.
Beep, 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 beep. Hot off the presses.
Friday, November 18th.
Nice. Last Friday.
Yeah. Awesome. And Harrison, while you're here, why don't you tell us about the game prototype workshop as well, how those have been going, what's been happening. I believe in November, this one will be the last Sunday of the month.
Last Sunday
of the month. So it'll be November 27th.
So on November 27th, we'll be running, I believe, our fifth prototype lab. Generally, we just have people come in with games at various states for feedback. If you don't have a game, or if you have a game that you kind of have a mechanic that you want to hash out, we've had people kind of make games from there. Some people just show up because they're interested in seeing people's games that are just kind of cut out. But there's actually some pretty professional looking games. I know Addison started coming back. He has a battle plan. It's just a kind of an event where, you know, people bring games that they're looking for feedback, and the exciting part is that they come back the next month with it, you know, changed according to feedback. So that's at the store every last Sunday. So that's 12 to 6. So that's November 27th.
Mm-hmm.
November 27th. 12 to 6. Hope to see you there. One thing we're gonna maybe start doing is just tapping onto different game challenges and stuff like that. I know last month we did we were just using as a kind of a prompt to do a micro game, so we made a little 9-card game that was kind of fun to play. We based that off of like setting up traps and stuff.
Yeah, that was cool. Like that event seemed like the most raw, like, you know, game design, you know, like the creativity was really coming out, and we just, you know, a bunch of us just sat down and we were just playing a game and changing it and, you know, trying different iterations and seeing what worked. So it was cool, like, just getting that grasp on how to take that initial step in a game design.
So I think that depending on what people want to go there for, we'll kind of tailor it to that. I know that we've had some people, like even existing game designers, want to share some of the information, especially once people are ready to kind of take that next step forward. So talk about like what it takes to kind of push things forward into production and stuff like that. So hopefully we keep these going, and people bring games that they're really proud of. Maybe we'll make the next Build as Yours. I don't know.
That's
a little ambitious.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't have to be in Germany.
I don't know. We'll shoot for the stars, right?
Nice. No, I guess it would be true because Codenames won. That's definitely not from Germany, right?
You heard games it here. Editions. We are going to be making the next Spiel des Jahres.
There it is. So you want to be at the prototype event. So maybe it'll be your game. Nice. Yeah, so chock full for November. So definitely there's something for everybody. So check out these events. Again, you can find them on our website and on our Facebook page. Lots of stuff always going on at the portal. Of course, there's always gaming happening. Thursdays, Sundays, there's board gaming. There's Magic every day. There's 40K on Friday nights, F&M on Friday nights. There's all sorts of things that I just can't list every week on the podcast. So definitely check out those events. But if those are anything you're interested, or friends of yours are interested, I mean, the portal is just the place to be. In Connecticut right now, just great getting gaming happening, and we just want you to come in and try something out. We got the board game demo library and all sorts of stuff, so yeah, just let us know. And if there's something you're looking for, a game you want to play, something you want to do, you can also just email us portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com, and I could try to set up something to teach if there's like a longer game or something you've been waiting to play. So
cool.
Let us know. Those are upcoming events. So now we move on to What's on Your Table?
Have you done that
before? No, I was trying that. So let us know if that was good or bad. So.
We're going to sample it and like...
Well, don't let us know if it was bad. Just, we want to hear that.
What's on your table?
Let Brian know if it's bad.
Brian, kick us off.
Oh, yeah. we're going out of order here.
I know.
So one that I really want to focus on was Biblios Dice from Dr. Finn's Games. I got to play this recently with the designer. And I went into it not sure what to expect. I wasn't the biggest fan of Biblios, but Biblios Dice is kind of set in a similar time period. You're a medieval monk. You're trying to collect. You're trying to increase the prestige of the abbey's collection by acquiring different scripts and that sort of stuff, and gold and whatnot. So really, the basic gist of it is you've got this whole handful of dice, and you roll them on your turn. And you split them up so, like, multiple symbols are going to come up of each type. So you split them up into groups of the same symbol. And then you get to pick one of those types of symbols. So maybe you pick, like, a red shield. You pick that. Maybe there are three red shields that were rolled. You move up on that track, like the red shield. You move up three spaces on that track. And you're trying to get to different, like, incentives, different point values. So the higher up on the tracks, the more influence you'll have at the end of the game. They kind of have varying stock values almost, where, maybe the red track is being manipulated, you'll increase the value of that one, so the person at the highest point at the end of the game will get, X number of points. And that'll change throughout the course of the game, so there's a cool, like, back and forth sort of thing. So you're going up on all these different tracks. So you pick your dice, and then next person picks their dice. It goes around until all the dice have been picked. And there are a couple different symbols. Like I said, one of the dice will let you manipulate, like, the different tracks. One will give you gold. Most of them, there are a couple different styles. Most of the tracks are the same, except, like, different colors, different symbols. But there's one that's got, like, a tiebreaker sort of thing, and it'll give you different benefits from going up that track. But, yeah, I guess I didn't necessarily pull a theme out myself, so I'm looking at it more from that mechanism. But I really enjoyed it. It was really easy to just sit down and play. And I guess it didn't hurt that we had the designer there. But I think this is one that I picked it up on the spot from him. And I'd like to play this some more, see how it goes. It seems like it seemed like a filler that I'd really be able to back. So
is there no auctioning?
There is. It's really, I forget exactly how it works. There's a, one of the dice has a number where this, I forget what the, there's like a person moving along a track.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll roll it, it's probably got like values 1 through 3. The person will move up that number of spaces. Once it hits a certain point on the track, it'll basically reset, but it'll trigger an auction. So all the dice were rolled will be split. The person who rolled them splits them into two piles, basically, like a different values, cheap. Like, I forget if it was like 6 and 4 or something like that, where there are more dice in one and then fewer dice in the other. And then there's bidding. Everyone's got a hand of cards, which are just representing different monetary values. So it's like, so I think you've got like, I think it was like 1 to 7 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone picks one card, puts it face down. Or actually, it was 0 to 7. Once you pick the 0, you're out of it. You're done bidding. Mm-hmm. So everyone picks a card simultaneously, flips it. You keep going until there's one last person that's won. And basically, it's like the person that's paid the most gets their first choice, but they have to pay the full value, I think. The person who bid the second highest gets their second, like, gets the next pick, gets the other pool, yep. But they only pay half of their bid. That's so interesting.
And the drafting isn't I pick one and then give one to you and give one to the other person and then put one.
No.
It's just roll the dice
and pick a grouping, and then it keeps going around.
So you're telling me you like Biblios Dice better than Biblios?
Much better, yeah.
Wow. All right.
Why? Have you played Biblios Dice?
No. So I'm not saying you're wrong.
Oh.
Because I haven't played Biblios Dice.
You're implying that I'm wrong.
I am. Well, yeah.
You can't see how Biblios...
Well, just listening to those mechanisms and not having that draft style,
mm-hmm.
that, like, nothing's hidden...
I forget. I mean, there might have been some. It's. I think it's really more of that manipulating the tracks and trying to get to different values on those.
No, I'm definitely interested in trying it, but Biblios is like one of my favorite fillers. So, Have you played Biblios Harrison?
I have not.
Oh, it's... It's very good if you listen to the person on your left.
Okay.
That's why he switched seats with you at the beginning.
So, that's right. Yeah, cool. Biblios Dice.
Dr. Finn's Games. Yeah.
It is. Awesome. Harrison, why don't you go next?
So, this weekend, actually the previous weekend, I got a package from Kickstarter that took a couple years to get in, but that came from Mockman Press. We'll talk about the name of the game. It's Mangaka. The whole idea is, I don't really know how much of a board game comes out of it, but it's definitely fun. You're simulating kind of the day in the life of a Japanese comic book artist. Brian got to play it with me last week, and I brought it to the table on the Extra Life event, so we got to stream that. That was kind of fun to play show and tell. But the idea is you have increasingly more panels per round with the same amount of time. So you're trying to do two panels in the first round, and as you continue on, you have to create, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8 panels of art in like 6 minutes of period. And the fun thing about it is that everybody has an obsession that they have, and you don't have to be good at drawing. People certainly weren't.
You were really good.
No, I mean, at the end, everybody's scribbles ended up looking the same, so it didn't matter. And I mean, Larry ended up winning, and he ended up just kind of drawing like stick figures with like X across their faces. But so everybody has their little obsessions, and that kind of helped feed the theme of everybody's comic. So like one of mine was my. Person was obsessed with cat people dressed in maid outfits, and and it needed to have family humor. And Brian, you had like a Dracula story.
Yeah, I had vampires. I had what was the set, like a fantastical setting sort of thing, like
they wanted revenge.
Yeah, and there needed to be a focus on wanting revenge.
So generally, like people, like the genre of the comic ends up coming out, and throughout the rounds, there are different traits that need to be pulled out, trends that need to be pulled out that kind of advise like how the round would go. So it was kind of fun because everybody's story kind of started rolling along as you did the 2, 4, 6, 8 panels, and a story started coming out. But in actually both games I played, the final card had a trend where just everybody wanted to die, and so we worked really hard, and then we pulled a card where, you know, just you have to get rid of everybody in your game. And it was kind of fun because every round you share, you go around the table and you just show your comic book, and everybody just laughs at the little scrawls that you call people. And you get points depending on how many of your obsessions and the trends that you mark off. And it really felt like, whose line is it anyway? No one really cared about points because you ended up like with the fun comic that you got to share.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. The goal is to make a comic, not to win. Yeah. Almost a telestration style thing.
Yeah.
But it was cool, like, with that framework where you are still, like, everyone's still trying to, like, fit these things in. Like, there was, like, a scientific trend where people needed to, like, you know, have that as a framework. And then you also needed to, like, you wanted to fit in words that were, like, 11 letters or more or something. So it was kind of cool, like, trying to force those in. Like, everyone still kind of tried to do those, even though they weren't, like, you know, completely min-maxing it.
Yeah.
It was neat to see that.
I know Larry's comic was kind of like The Walking Dead themed at the end. He had Negan running around, and one of the last cards was, like I said, everybody had to go away. So he had Negan running around with Lucille and just attacking all these comic book artists. That got really meta at the end. I think somebody else's comic had a cameo from somebody else's comic, so it was really neat just how everybody, the table interacts with each other, and people just kind of have fun with it. And
mine started with like vampires in Middle Earth, and it ended with
you went to the moon,
a vampire, and like crashing up a spaceship into the sun to explode it, to blow up the sun.
Nice.
As his tale of revenge, so.
Yeah, so it's just fun. Like, I know I've caught myself, like, opening the box and just, like, looking at everybody's comics and just remembering it. It was neat. So I got to play that twice. I'm almost out of the little sheets of paper that it comes with, actually, so I have to go to the Staples before I can play that again. But that was Mangaka by Mockman Press.
Is that coming into stores? Is it a Kickstarter only?
I think I saw it on one of those journals, the... that you can order it, so maybe we'll see.
Oh,
like the little the one where you can order games,
like the Game Trade sort of
thing? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if it doesn't, it'd be really foolish. I know that there's when I was playing, at least like 5 people wanted it, so
yeah. I could see that. I mean,
nice and light.
Just wondering. Awesome. I got a chance to play Automobiles with an S. From AEG, not to be confused with Automobile Martin Wallace, which I still want to play. But I've been trying to play Automobiles, which is a bag builder, third in the series of trains, planes, and automobiles. And so this is a bag builder racing game. And so you have a set of cubes, like a deck builder. You're going to, you know, put the cubes in the bag and then draw some out, put them in a discard pile as you spend them, and then when you need to put them back in, you put them back in, shuffle, and draw more. And so basically the structure is you're getting cubes that give you various, like, almost pit crew abilities, so, or boosts on your car, like, oh, kick in your turbo boost, or I don't know if that's exactly the term, because it's supposed to be NASCAR kind of things, but, you know, upgraded acceleration or whatever. But then the main gist is you get all these cards that are your various gears, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, sixth gear, and they're all colored, so it's just kind of shades of gray, like white to black, the different shades. And the board, the actual track, has those same shades going around it. And the squares that are white, which represent third gear, are kind of small, but the squares or rectangles or whatever that are, you know, the next gear up are longer. So if you go to that gear, you can move further on the board. And then, you know, all the way you get to, like, the black, which are, like, you know, the whole straightaway as you go. That's the track we did was Daytona Beach, which is kind of the classic go around, you know, turn left a lot. So you kind of play those cubes and you move along the spaces and that's how you move faster, but then your car takes wear. So the faster you try to push your car, the more these brown wear cubes you take. And the wear is basically, you know, wasted things on your turn. You just pull them out of your bag and you can't do anything. There's a lot of systems for removing wear and doing other things, so that seems to work pretty well. You can also take a turn to just remove all the wear. There's some pit cards that will say, like, you know, this turn you can remove wear and draw that many cubes or whatever, so it lets you kind of cull those things out. So I played two-player. It was fast. We played 3 laps. You can play all the way up to 7 or 9 laps. I think it's 7. So it could have been a longer game, which I think would have started really building things up, and you'd have to kind of take a different strategy from 3 laps. And I thought I had a good strategy of removing those wear cubes, and I was removing them regularly. But in the last lap, I drew all my wear cubes and none of my movement cubes and just was totally stuck, because even culling them didn't matter because I wasn't going to go through my bag ever again. But it was fun. Having wanted to play it so long, kind of reminded me of Big Book of Madness in that sense. That was the one I kept seeking for so long. But it lived up to it. It was fun. I think it would be more fun with more people.
Yeah.
One of the abilities we had out was you can go as many, like, light gray spaces as your position in the race. And if you're in last, it's +1. So in a 2-player game, it allowed you to move 3 spaces because you're in 2nd place, +1 because you're in last place. So that was a very, like, I overtake you, you overtake me, I overtake you. But, you know, when somebody got a big lead, it was kind of necessary, otherwise the game would be kind of boring. And I guess in a 4-player game, you'd be able to go 5 spaces with that, which would be really interesting, so it would make that pretty powerful. But there were neat abilities, like reuse a gear cube that's in your discard pile, so you could kind of really zoom ahead, and it was neat. It was light and short and interesting, and the bag building was fun. And again, you could increase that speed, so I don't think it's an amazing game, but it lived up to being that solid, fun game. I would definitely, if people took it out, I I would even go as far as I would take it out to teach people that game. It was fun. I'm not sure if it's a next step game or a gateway game. It's hard to kind of balance that in my brain. It doesn't seem too hard, and that concept of draw the cubes and then when your bag is empty, put them all back in. I mean, that's not that complicated. So, but it was neat. It definitely set out what it was trying to accomplish: put a bag builder into a racing game. And I don't typically like racing games. I want to like racing games, but most of them I don't find that enjoyable. And this one felt like it had a better feel to it. You know, you're taking your cubes kind of Euro style and you're putting them out on the board to show your movement. And that just felt like spending resources. It felt more satisfying than some race games where it's roll the die or hope you have the right thing or kind of hope for the best. This one was more like you had a system going and you kind of knew what you were doing. So
you were playing with two people. Do you have to worry about like kind of bumping into each other?
No, so the only thing you can do is you can draft. So if I finish my turn behind you, then I don't draw any wear cubes. Mm-hmm. So I can you can actually go in somebody's space because some of the spaces have like slots for multiple cars.
Okay.
So I can finish in your space behind you and then I don't draw any wear cubes, which I it would definitely be interesting at four players because you'd be doing that more often. And two players like, well, can I finish? No, I could zoom right by them, so I will. It would be kind of a waste. But it would be an interesting strategy to have that person who's not really getting a lot of wear and kind of hanging around in third and fourth place, and then all of a sudden the last lap zooming ahead. Yeah. So it was neat.
Have you played Planes?
I haven't played Planes. I have played Trains.
Do you want to play Planes now?
No.
Okay.
I haven't heard good things about Planes. Unless there's one on the shelf at the store, in which case, maybe.
Well, now that they're done with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, are they going to like combine them to be the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles games? Because I play that.
That would be cool, actually, yeah. Oh, like actually make a little kit that puts the three together?
Or no, just run around with what, John Candy?
Like. Oh, gotcha. Oh, just make a game with John Candy and Steve Martin.
Yeah, I'd play that game.
It'd be neat if they made some kit that puts all three games together, but I haven't heard good things about Planes, which was the same designer as Automobiles, so it's neat that he came back and really made I don't know if it's a hit, but it's a decent game, so it was...
Trains was... I remember that being fun. I only played it the once, but...
Yeah, I played it three or four times, and it was definitely good, but yeah. Now, when you talk about deck-building board game, what's the game, Harrison?
Clank.
Clank, it's so good. I don't need anything else. I could play that game 10 times in a night.
Yeah.
So, no. I could play that game 3 times in a night. It's so good. No. Super fun. All right. That is what's on our table. Let us know what's on yours. Okay. For our discussion topic today, we want to talk about various events that have been happening lately. And kind of the interesting thing here is, and Brian, you even mentioned this, like just the whole like conflicting events, like how there can be so much going on. It's trying to figure it out. So this past weekend, there was at the Portal, there was the Portal GT for Warhammer 40K and the Extra Life event that was going on, which Harrison's going to talk to us about. And then I had a convention at my house, VonnerCon. Vonner is Swedish for friends, so it's FriendsCon that I've been kind of growing slowly at my house and working up, kind of a little bit on the DL, I guess. And then, Brian, you had to go to a wedding in that same weekend, so it was like all these events that happened. But, you know, even just focusing on, how great it was for the store. Like, you've got this Portal GT event with 30-plus Warhammer 40K players, and then you've got the Extra Life event, 24 hours of gaming with a decent number of people. Yeah. It looked like in the picture, the people that made it 24 hours was about 15 or so people. So that's just neat that you can have all these events going on and things happening. Of course, my event ran into your event, Harris, at the store, which I really would rather be supporting your event, but I couldn't move mine because I had to plan it 10 months out. So next year, we will not allow these to run into each other.
I mean, you've always put it on the extra hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
For like a tagline to like, so it's tough. I mean, it's just like there's so many things going on every, weekly and year annually. There's so many events going on. It's tough to like balance it. I know, like we participate in a lot of these because we really enjoy playing and we want to support the hobby. You know, so even if like some of these aren't necessarily driving the same sales to the business. Like, it's something that we put our time in, you know, probably above and beyond what, like, the normal, you know, like, what, like, we would get paid for, or, like, what you'd, you know, you're there all the time, Harrison, and you're doing so much, like, because it's, you enjoy it, and yep. It's, like, your hobby, too, so it's cool. It's just, it is tough at points. It's a little overwhelming. There's so many different things that get built into a schedule, you know, so all of a sudden it's like, all right, all of a sudden it's filling in, like, now my week has 2 days that I'm committed, and then, oh, there's another one that's going to happen every month, and there's another one that's going to happen every other week, you know, there's so many things that happen.
Yeah.
I guess it's just kind of picking and choosing, and really trying to do as much, like, you know, build support, and I know even, like, when we had the Dice Tower guys up this year, it's probably not going to be an annual thing. It's just, it's something that we really liked doing. We have to keep trying new things and getting interactivity, like, you know, across all these different avenues.
I mean, having too many things to go to isn't a bad problem to have, but I mean, it's good to kind of, like, be able to split up different events. You know, the Dice Tower event was, what, a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and not all of these have the same flavor, so, you know, if you're mm-hmm. Do more of, like, the Pathfinder stuff, like, I know the Extra Life event had a huge Pathfinder Society show up, and then the 40K, so I think that you can kind of decide how to spend your time if, you know, there's multiple events going on, and you could be a madman. I know Brian went to all three of these events, yeah. So, I mean, even to his wedding, the wedding too, so that's... So
it was,
I mean,
not his wedding, not wedding, just to wedding. Clarify. That would have been impressive, though.
You guys weren't invited, so, yeah. I mean, it's not like you could have gone to all three.
So let's back up. So the Extra Life event, how did you get involved? What is it? What is it for? Tell us all those things.
So Extra Life is a charity that sits on top of your local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. So they actually run that and sponsor the Extra Life charity. So in this part of Connecticut, that's the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. And how I kind of got involved was, it's funny enough that we brought this up, but just hearing that there was a community that supports people through their hobbies, like, actually people, I think, brought up on a podcast the Jack Vassell Memorial Fund, and I thought that was cool, so I ended up looking up for opportunities, and that year, which was last year, there was an opportunity to kind of work with a charity that was finally getting representation in Hartford, so we ended up, you know, going to one of those meetings, and through a few of them, I ended up becoming the president of the local area. So, Extra Life is all types of games. So people do video games, board games, streams, tabletop, whatever you games mean to you, people do that. So generally, one of their biggest things is that they take one day out of the year, usually it's sometime in fall, and spend the whole 24 hours raising awareness, raising money towards their local children's hospital. So just because I was getting into the hobby of board gaming, the portal seemed like a friendly local game store, and I kind of just asked them, and we did an event with them last year that raised a good amount of money, and I'll talk about it more, and but we did this event on November 5th, and they raised hopefully a little bit more when we do the money counts, but it was good. I think that it's just a good celebration of the hobby, just like people getting together and, you know, wanting to support a local children's hospital that probably they went to, or they certainly know someone who has. I think it's just it was a good time.
Nice. So Brian, how did the portal get involved? What was your conversation with Harrison like there?
It was really, it just seemed like from our end, it was really, yeah, we'd like to do that. And really just kind of us providing a venue. You know, I think a lot of it was kind of built off of, like, the structure where, like, we ran International Tabletop Day as this, like, full 24-hour gaming marathon-style thing, you know, where we were trying to, like, push it. So it was something that we hadn't done before, you know, the first time we did that 24-hour thing. We wanted to try it, see how it went. And you were very active in that, Harrison.
Yep.
And I think just kind of seeing that, seeing what we could do, and just tying it into to another focal point, like another day where it's like, this is our dedicated day
mm-hmm.
to really show support for, you know, for like Extra Life itself. Like there was just a full day where we could have that same opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't hurt that Extra Life was in the spring and we didn't have something running in the fall. So all of a sudden we're making a push kind of in a similar style, but definitely with a unique flavor to it too.
Yeah.
So I think it just went really well last year where we were really focused on,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying it out, getting like the attention toward the charity and getting people in, getting people excited about playing for the full time and kind of building off of that hype and just that excitement.
Yeah.
And I know like the meetup group that's been coming to the shop has been great. Like I remember the first International Tabletop Day was kind of sparse. It wasn't like anything like what it's at now,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, there were games going on the whole time, but it was really like a couple people that stuck around. And now all of a sudden, like you guys are saying, like, you know, somewhat close to 15 people yeah. were there for the full 24 hours, and, you know, just, you know, a lot of tournaments went on and all that sort of stuff. So it's really grown, and I hope we can keep supporting it and keep generating that excitement.
Yeah.
Cool. So take us through the day, Harrison. Start us off. When you got there, what you did, set up, whatever, and how the day went.
All right. So it happened to be November 5th, and one of our meetup members remembered that it was the 5th of November. So that was, and Brian knows where I'm going with this, but if you ever read, like, V for Vendetta or watched the movies, was it Guy Fawkes Day? We thought it would be helpful to kind of start the day off with not a bang, but a boom. So we did two rooms and a boom. I think that's kind of become a staple for these 24-hour events, just because it gets people that are there to kind of, like, loosen up a little bit. So I won't necessarily go over what two rooms and a boom is, but, like, we just had people. We had a group of, I think it was somewhere close to, like, 20 people playing that game.
So this is right at midnight?
So this is right at midnight. So this is when people were walking in, and someone was explaining the rules, and I was just like, hey, come over here. Don't set up your game. Just play with us. And some people weren't really for that. But the first half hour was this social deduction game about exploding the president. But
In the game, there's a president card that says nothing to do.
What's today? I don't know. There was that. That was fun. We as an incentive to have people come in, we kind of advertised that we would have people playing a huge game of Pretense. So we gave everybody a card. So Pretense is a kind of a social deduction game. There's going to be a theme here, guys, where you get one card that's kind of like a trigger, and if your trigger happens, such as like if somebody gives you food, if someone hands you any money, or if somebody at your table takes a call, then you take their card. So we had people just kind of eyeing each other about every single interaction, just thinking they might be put into a trap, have a pretense, if you will. That was fun. So that was one of the first events where people could win prizes. So we had the prizes that were just donations in your name towards the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. So if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it yet, but and you won something, we're allocating those prizes to Extra Life pages if you set them up. But we did that and open gaming till around like 2 or 3. Then as we went on, there was just open gaming till around 10, which when we started our tournaments. We started our tournaments with a Star Realms tournament, then around then we actually had one of the children from the Connecticut Children's Medical Center come in. Emma and her family came in and shared their story, which I thought was really like a really powerful way to kind of let people know like what they're raising money for. Mm-hmm. They came in. Emma had leukemia, and her brother, Alex, was able to come in, and he was a perfect match for her. So they were able to kind of get her help through there. And while she was in quarantine, she actually got a Nintendo DS. So they indoctrinated her early. So I'm sure that she'll be able to do extra life stuff in the future, because she just loves games and hugs, apparently. So then while they were there, we got to play some games with her: Potion Explosion, Junk Art, which is becoming a huge favorite, Tapple, games like that. Then it was around noon. Noon, we had a Ticket to Ride tournament. We had actions going through there. We had snacks going on. You know, gaming day doesn't mean we'd always have snacks. So one of the ways that we actually were able to raise money was people were opted in to sign a sheet. And if your name was on that sheet, then you get to... anybody could donate $1 at any time to do, like, a jelly bean challenge, where you get... I mean, if you've heard of this Bean Boozled thing, I know they sell it at the Time Machine.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of jelly beans that you can spin a wheel for, and then if you're unlucky or lucky, you get a pleasant version of that color bean that it tells you to grab, like coconut or peach or strawberry banana smoothie. Or you get an unpleasant version of it, which is like spoiled milk or barf or rotten fish, respectively. And then so people were able to kind of do that. That was fun.
I don't know if my palate is toned to know the difference between spoiled fish and barf and rotten milk. Or I think I got those backwards, but whatever.
I got spoiled milk, but like, I'm not exactly sure.
You definitely know. I think one of our people that had intended to stay for the 24 hours just had to go home because of how awful that was. But it was kind of funny because people were able to. They got angry at each other. They lost a game. They're like, go spin that wheel.
Eat a bean.
Eat a bean. That was a good time. We actually, there were like 20 names, so some people just rolled dice to see who got it. Another thing that Gary actually spun up was there was a corn chip challenge where you paid into it, and throughout the day we had like a Lazy Susan set up to you paid money to get into it, and then you spin the Lazy Susan and it pointed at a bin, and there were different various levels of spicy chips. So a regular corn chip with like sriracha in it, or up to the spiciest like ghost chili peppers or Carolina Reaper peppers that were like 1.5 million Scoville units. So people were in pain after that, so we gave them some of the creamer for the coffee that Ashland Farm provided. But
yeah, that could be a little disruptive to some games. I remember we were playing Seven Wonders and it kind of broke apart a little bit while the initial challenge was going off, and one of the people participating in the game stepped aside
he ended up getting it.
Well, I think he like picked it up intentionally because he wanted to just try it, and you know,
yeah,
he didn't even go for the, like, he just wanted to eat the push it and eat the spiciest one. So Seven Wonders took a little bit longer that time, but
yeah. Then at 2 o'clock we had a what did we have? Oh, that was a Seven Wonders tournament then. So that's when that happened. We had various pickup games that happened, which is kind of fun. We had I think around that time there was a Captain Sonar tournament where people ended up just making teams of four and just played Captain Sonar and just tried to see who could be the best submarine captain. So it was fun to see that kind of just come up from nowhere. So we were able to just give them prizes for that. Just that was neat.
Nice, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then at four we had a we had people gather together to make teams for a Codenames tournament. We didn't play code games this year. That would have been cool. But people got together in teams, and I think the Three Amigos ended up winning, which was cool. That was pretty neat. We ended up giving away prizes as well as a copy of Codenames Pictures. So congratulations, guys. Then at 6, we had our last tournament, Splendor Tournament, and we actually happened to have some cool promos that we were able to give out with that. So some of the heavier gems that you can just kind of throw on the table, play mats, stuff like that. So that was cool. And then it was kind of open gaming until, we had, we pulled out, a Mysterium promo, so there was just kind of like a Mysterium demo where, Gary was running it with Late to the Table. He actually was streaming the whole thing, on his stream, that usually runs on Thursdays, at the Portal, and he was, doing demos of Mysterium. They did like 3 or 4 games, and people paid to enter to win some some copies of the games or promos. There was a creepy ghost mask that you can wear. And
that was creepy.
It was kind of creepy. Is it supposed to be like spooky? Or, like, I don't know. Then I think everybody got to walk away with a fun promo card, like one of those dream cards of like a banana chilling on the beach while a storm comes in. It's just the most confusing card I've ever seen.
That can't be true.
It's
there's some pretty far out.
Oh, you haven't played with me before then.
Yeah, maybe I'm dreaming. Open gaming till around midnight, where we started kind of drumming up interest to all the people that were able to stay. And Gary actually donated a few copies of some out of print or hard to get games. What is it? Forbidden Stars, Fury of Dracula, and a Kickstarter game. It's a nice wooden box. If you know what it is, you've heard of it. Secret H. If you know what it is, if you've heard of it. We were able to kind of sell some tickets to raise money through that as well. At our highest, we must have had at least like 100 people. The Pathfinder Society, I didn't even mention. They were running campaigns throughout the time. That was good. And I think that's about it. It was a lot of people came in and played games, healed kids. I think people are looking forward to kind of seeing what we can do in next year, and I hope that the Portal would be there to kind of for the next iteration and the next one and the next one. It's just a good time.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to be there a little bit longer.
Yeah, tell your friends not to get married around then.
Nice, yeah, so that was really good. So if people are, if you're listening, you're like, man, I'd love to do a 24-hour event and whatnot. So we'll do International Tabletop Day, again, which is in the spring, usually late April. But this is the better one in terms of the two, because this has the charitable portion, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And being able to have, like, Emma come in and talk about her story and for people to see, like, this is what you're giving your money to.
Yep.
Is really neat. So, so definitely check that out next year, come around fall. It's a really good time. I know people are doing it all over the country. Extra, so you know, if you're listening from somewhere else, you can get involved. I know the last Dukes of Dykes episode, sister podcast on the network, was all about their play down at Empire Board Gaming Library, of doing their Extra Life run through. Yeah. So you can listen to them, and they do like a live podcast there, so maybe we have to consider that one of these years. It works out better.
24 hours.
But,
yeah, if anybody's interested in that, just reach out to me. I'm Harrison Guzman. You can reach out to me through, I know that you could probably get me through, the Chits and Giggles meetup group, who was amazing throughout the whole thing, by the way. Just everybody helped out. That helped out. It was really crowdsourced, the whole event. Even just the fact that we had more events from last year, tournaments and stuff like that, that was because mm-hmm. people were really willing to kind of provide copies of their games, donate things. Gary was huge in kind of organizing that. At a certain point, I was like, just talk to Gary about games, about tournaments if you want to. I'm just gonna set up the table. So
it's a great community. Mm-hmm. And even if you're a little hesitant to come out, it's just totally worth stopping by. People are always playing starting up new games and whatnot. So, it's a very welcoming atmosphere. Even if it's not something you're always comfortable with. It's we like to be a good environment for that, and I think it's just a really good community too. So
yeah, I would just say thank you, Harrison, because like you said, I mean, Gary helping out and all those things, and you know, the portal's great, but I mean, you've really been the ringleader, like you said, being the president and taking that over of that place, and then just seeking out the portal and just adding to the great community that's already there. You've just helped to kick it up a notch. So we really appreciate that, and thank you for all the work you do and all those things, and for helping to cure kids. Like you said, I mean, you're doing it in a very direct way that is exciting, accessible, reachable, and good. Good for people to get involved. You know, you're making it a tangible way for people to help their community and their local community. Yes. Like you said, Manchester to Hartford, so that's a nice right down the road, mm-hmm. right down the pipeline. So
yeah,
I mean, say thank you.
Thank you. Cool.
And thank you for being on the podcast. You're not done.
No.
But I'm saying thank you as we transition to
the I was getting my coat ready.
No.
We're kicking you
out. We got way more here. Awesome. So, while that event was going on, I was running VonnerCon at my house. I'll just do a brief recap. And like I said, I don't want these two things specifically to conflict next year. But was what was happening, and as we talked about before. So, I just, you know, I had this idea of, like, typically my birthday's in the fall, and I would kind of receive a pile of games.
Typically your birthday.
Typically. Sometimes I change it. I was getting a pile of games. Like, well, this is dumb. I don't need a pile of games. I need a pile of people to play the games with, so
just a pile.
Finding a pile of people was difficult, so I decided to create a pile of people, and so I came up with this idea for this event. So last year it was BrantCon, and it was weird having my name in it, so I changed it to VonnerCon, because we named our house Hem Til Vonner, home to friends, and so FriendsCon. And so had this event over 4 days where we had people come. So this year I had 107 people come to my house over 4 days, and we had 72 games that were played in those 4 days. So we have a whiteboard where people stick stuff up and write all the games they played, and we track the people coming in. So the 107 includes repeats, because it's each day's head count. But we had a lot of fun, and Harrison and Brian made it. They both made it to that Thursday and Sunday. You were both there.
Yep.
Obviously because of the event at the store, where the other days didn't work out, and getting sleep and being ready for that. So just had a really good time, and it was fun, and it was neat, and it was cool having you guys there. Gary actually came too, yep. So it was neat. It was neat that you guys came to that event, even though you were running your own big event. So I appreciated that, and we had some fun. Some of the games I got to play that you know I don't play a lot or were new to me mostly, but Time's Up. I just had two great games of Time's Up, and it really is just one of the best party games. If you haven't played Time's Up, you just got to get yourself in a game of Time's Up. It's super fun. I mean, it takes a little bit of getting out of your shell, but it's not extreme. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's a guessing game, but the way each round builds up is amazing. Like, whoever designed it, it's just a great job, you know, for a simple, light game of that sort. I got a chance to try Royals, which is an area control game, and we know area control could be on the fence. This one was right in that middle line for me. I like that you don't have to defend your territory. In fact, there is no way to defend your territory. It just can get taken from you. So you don't have that mind game of like, oh, if I don't add one more cube, I'll be in trouble. Anyway, got to play that. I got to play Homeland, the board game, which was really good. I really liked it. I felt like for playing a group kind of social deduction game, but 5 or 6 players to keep it to a strategic game, that was definitely a go-to for having 5 or 6 players. I got to play Mechs vs. Minions for the first time, the big Riot games. It was definitely neat. It is a light game. It isn't the, like, Heroescape variety to me. Not sure if it'd be Brian's cup of tea. I'm going to talk more about that because I actually have a demo copy coming to me, so I'm going to wait until I get my copy to talk more about that. Got to play Junk Art, which I actually had played once before, but definitely, like you said, super popular. It's really fun. In fact, I played it this afternoon with my daughter. And Junk Art's just a great game. I do want to get a picture of us all playing Junk Art with, like, oversized pretzels in our hands, because they say pretzel games is like you have a pretzel in one hand and you can play the game. I don't think you could hold a giant pretzel and play
How are you going to measure with the little tape that comes
Don't say that around Rachel. She would I
don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, she's pretty good at it.
She's really good at that.
I got to play Dream Home thanks to Harrison, who dropped off his copy so I could play with my daughter. I
played the game like 4 times that weekend.
Yeah. It's really neat. It's a little drafting game, and it's just cool. They did a good job of thinking about, like, the key part is not only do you draft rooms that you want to put in your house, but you draft, like, people who help you with your house, mm-hmm. and, like, items to, like, decorate, decor that you could put in your house. And that totally makes all the difference. That gives it that extra level of, like, ooh, now I'm matching these things and trying to figure this out.
I was playing with a kid I guess they're not really necessarily thinking of suboptimal moves, but there was just a playroom that happened to have a climbing wall in it, so they were just like, I want that. But you don't need a purple roof, guy.
Nice.
No, it was fun.
And I got to do the second Think Fun Escape the Room, and that was neat. I didn't like it as much as the first, but it's still really cool and doing those kind of things. So those were some of the things I got to do. We had food, we had people all in and out of my house. It was crazy, all the people from all walks of life. People from the portal, people from my church, people from my family, my friends from the area. I had a guy that I work with come out. We had a pastoral candidate from our church who stopped by with his wife, and we played Port Royal. By the way, that's probably one of the that's probably the best filler of all time, Port
that's
Royal.
Awesome. Yeah,
it's
that's a really good
so
game.
Good. Fister Fire, as I always say. That guy is on fire, Alexander Fister. So that's a great game. But
yeah, I learned I should never be driving powerboats. I played that game and did not score a single point, which was really, like, it was 3 rounds, top 3 out of 4 in each round scored at least 1 point. So you can see where this one's going.
Yeah.
My boats were not able to finish the lap. So
nice. So just quick, what were your guys feeling about the times you were at VonnerCon? What was going on?
Yeah, no, it was really cool. I was glad I got to play a lot of stuff that I might not have otherwise. You know, Pretense was brought out right away. You know, like, the first night, I unloaded some stuff to sell at the event.
Yeah.
And Pretense was, like, the first thing that sold, and all of a sudden it was cracked open, and we were playing that the whole night. And there was definitely more tension than, like, the normal, like, a good sort of tension, though, where it was kind of, you want me to high-five you, but I don't want to do that, or, you know, I'm not actually going to hand this stuff to you, I'm going to wait and put it on the table so you have to pick it up yourself. It was just kind of that neat, like, it added a neat dynamic, and, you know, along with that, there were a lot of great games. I really did enjoy the manga game that he brought out. Like, I talked to my dad about that after, and he sounded excited about it, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, I had a great time.
Yeah, actually, probably I didn't play any games that I didn't talk about, so it was like playing a lot of new games, kind of meeting a lot of, you know, the Vonners, friends. that was cool. I got to meet and, you know, meeting a lot of new people and playing Time's Up, so just, like, jumping around like Frogger to convey Frogger was kind of the funny part. But the time I was there, that was kind of neat, just seeing, like, there being an environment where people can just kind of pick up a game and even though you don't know each other, just play. That was a good time.
Nice, yeah. So that was my experience with VonnerCon this year. So it's kind of been, it's you know, it's an invite only kind of thing. But if somebody's listening and you're in the area, in Connecticut, and you're interested, I'm probably doing this in the fall next year. I'm thinking Columbus Day weekend. So, you know, feel free to send me an email or let me know, and I'm totally sending out invites for this. It's kind of been at my house, so for 2 years I just kind of kept it to the basics of people. But, you know, definitely something that my wife and I are interested in, kind of having this regularly and having people come in and play games and just kind of have our house open, because that's something that we kind of do. And
yeah,
it's just what I love about board gaming. Like, I always try to make sure people know I like board games, but I love people. And so that element of having people and opening that up and new people in my house. Later this year, Brian and I will talk about our 10x10s, but I already have plans for my 10x10 next year, which I want to make centered around people and board games.
Cool.
So I got a neat idea for that. So anyway, yeah, just let me know. And that was VonnerCon, and now we've kind of done it for 2 years in the full, just kind of smaller, but I'm looking to open it up and have some ideas. So.
And I mean, I'd say it wouldn't hurt. Like, you're at a lot of events too, you know, if it's like, you know, a lot of the library events or, you know, Thursday nights and such, it wouldn't hurt just, you know, trying to get in a game with us and just building up from that. Like, it's definitely more, like, you definitely connect to people, and just playing a game helps get it to that next step where it's like, oh, you know, by the way, this is, you know, my home address. Yeah. Come over to this, right, and that right. sort of stuff. So just feel free to say hi to us and, you know, try to get in a game and just build up a relationship there.
Please do ask to be in a game. Brian's figured, like, I dare you. I try to get in a game with us. I know that's what he means, but it just sounds funny.
So. It just helps, like, I mean, just talking with you. Like, it's
yeah.
not, like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, let's definitely love playing games, love teaching games. Teaching is my number one. I just love teaching people games. I just love when they get it and they love it and
yeah.
have that aha moment. I got a chance to teach Through the Ages last night, play that with somebody for the first time, and, whoa, that's a great game. Win? No. but I had fun, so.
Walk over to Brant with a copy of Terra Mystica, and you're
ready
to go.
Got
him in his hand.
Nice, so, awesome. So there's a bunch of events that were going on. Weddings, Extra Life, VonnerCon, and yeah. while Extra Life was going on, we had the whole Portal GT with 30 more, you know, Warhammer 40K players, so... You know, there's just great stuff going on, great community at the store. The Portal is just a yep. store that I'm honored to you know, call home for gaming, and just great things are going on. So stop in, you know, find an event, like you said, and just come on down, because it's a great time. So thank you, Harrison. Okay. Thank you, Brian. All right, there you go. That is episode number 32. There isn't a fancy title here. It's just the Extra Life and VonnerCon recap, because these things don't exist in the Star Wars universe. Everybody's going to blame me and yell at me, I know.
Is that the first one?
No, like our Gen Con recaps okay. are always called that, so I figured.
So it kind of fits that mold.
Yeah, so... yeah, so anyway, thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. We hope you got involved in Extra Life, or you will next year. And just check those things out. If not, hopefully we'll see you around the store or see you at the, you know, International Tabletop Day, 24 hours, that kind of stuff. So it's just been good. Before we go, Brian, why don't you tell us about some of the games that are on the horizon?
Yeah. So Doggy Go from Renegade Game Studios. I don't know a lot about it, but
I like Renegade Game Studios. So.
They've been good. A couple games coming out from Stronghold, Fabled Fruit and Fuji Flush. Are going to be some that'll be coming out shortly. Last Friday, kind of mm-hmm. like what we mentioned with the event, that'll be coming out shortly from Ares Games. Turia, Ulm, and Coin Quest are all expected ones from R&R Games, still kind of on the horizon. Colony from Bezier Games, that should be out this week, hopefully. So
And we played that at Gen Con.
Yeah, some places got some like pre-release copies. It should be coming out to like the hit normal retail this week, so... King of New York Power Up, that'll be coming out this week as well from Yellow Games. Princes of the Renaissance from Mercury Games, I haven't seen any more on that, but I'm looking forward to it. And Orleans Invasion from Tasty Minstrel Games will be coming out shortly as well. So.
Awesome. Those are all the things on the horizon. Also on the horizon, Dice Tower Con 2017. So hopefully make our way down there. And so if you're going to be down there or whatever, definitely let us know, and we'd love to play games and hang out with you, so that should be a really good time. So, yeah, that's pretty much that for an episode. Harrison, thank you so much for being on the show. Do you have some parting thoughts for us?
I don't know. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on a long time listener, so, yeah.
You ready to play another game of Codex?
Yeah, sure.
Nice. Brian, thank you for being on the episode. There we go. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up episode number 32. So, as always, I am your host, The Brant. With me is...
Your co-host, Brian.
And...
Harrison.
Awesome. And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on November 9th, 2016. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.